step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Now, Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway on 630 KHOW, Denver's talk station.
Light the fuse and run now, brother, because you ain't got a lot of time.
So, one of the things that blows my mind about Colorado legislators, and frankly, Colorado voters, and I'm exempting you that listen to this program because you are the exception to the rule for Colorado voters. But I thought when I moved to this state four-plus years ago, I thought, well, this is kind of an interesting sort of independent libertarian, maybe leans a little left state. Boy, has that changed in 4 years. There is absolutely no common sense amongst the general electorate in this state. Now, if you get outside of Denver and you get outside of Aspen and you get into real Colorado, you know, Grand Junction and other places around the state where real people live, you know, little towns like Burlington and Fort Morgan, there's real people there that have common sense. But by and large, the metro area runs the state, and there is absolutely no common sense and no common education among the voters. And the perfect example of this was after repeated attempts to take away your Tabor refunds by Democrats, Democrats then gathered around Governor McPhee, who, by the way, supported taking away your Tabor refunds before he didn't. And they lauded a $750 prebate slash rebate that lumped in everybody, changed the way we did Tabor refunds. And they did it all to bribe you to vote for them. And people were like, okay, I'll take a $750 check. And they got a governor's letter and all that kind of stuff. But at the point in time that they did this, they made it seem as though the very same people that hated Tabor now loved it. And so people went to the voting booth and they dutifully paid the price for their $750 check. And they voted by an overwhelming margin, Polis back into office, and by an overwhelming margin, a huge majority for the Democrats, who now want to go back and take away the very mechanism they used to bribe those voters in the first place. And we all predicted this. I said this was going to happen. I told you this was going to happen. I'm not the only talk show host that said that. People like the Independence Institute were banging this drum going, hey, they're trying to take this away again. And yet people were like, click, I'll vote for Polis and the Democrats again. And now they're about to get ripped off. And the interesting thing about this is it's probably going to happen in a way that's very sly, disingenuous, deceitful. They're probably going to word the language in this next bill that will make it seem as though you're really only just helping the teachers and the kids. Because there's a new bill that would abolish your Tabor refunds, and it would do so to say that instead of giving that money back to you, we're going to give it back to you in the form of helping teachers and kids. Joining me now, Ben Murray from the Independence Institute has been banging this drum, warning about this stuff for years, and specifically now. Ben, welcome back to the program. How are you, sir?
Good, Leland. Thanks for having me back on, and thanks for talking about this issue. It's really important for taxpayers.
It is, and I don't think a lot of taxpayers realize what's happening here. And, you know, in the article that you wrote on Complete Colorado, the sponsors of the bill, apparently they haven't even made the text public. But it's going to basically take those refunds, and instead of giving them to the taxpayers, it's going to give them to schools. Which, here's the weird thing about this, because I feel like this is another layer of disingenuous approach to this, right? They spend a bunch of money on stuff we don't need, and then they come back to things that the voters assume that we need and tell them, we got to do this in order to pay for this stuff. And nobody seems to have the context to realize that maybe they're just overspending in other areas before we go and take away our refunds and give it to the schools.
Yeah, I think that's an important point. You know, we vote for legislators, for lawmakers to go and govern, to make tough decisions, to prioritize spending. If I had a blank check, I wouldn't need these elected officials to do anything for me. I could fund my own education. I could fund my own roads. If I personally had a blank check with infinite money, I don't need people to govern for me. I send people to the Capitol to govern, to prioritize and make tough decisions. And every time it comes down to making tough decisions and deciding, okay, we need to prioritize education, which means maybe abolishing the, you know, Department of Equity, right? They don't want to make the tough decisions. They want to come back to the people and say, give us more money. Give us a blank check. Well, right. If we could just give you infinite money, we wouldn't need you to govern. What we need you to do is prioritize. That's what governing is.
Yeah. Why? I don't know, man. You have more context on this than I do because I've only been in the state for 4 years. But I've lived in a lot of different states. I've lived in liberal states. I've lived in conservative states. I've never seen a legislature as duplicitous and as willing to go around the taxpayers and lie to their face as this legislature is. And again, I'm pointing out that they just stood on the steps of the Capitol last year and bragged about the $750 Tabor refund checks that they paid everybody just in time for the election, and now they want to take it away from them. That blows my mind. Is it the fact that do they think that we're this stupid, or is it that they rely on most of the mainstream Colorado media apparatus to just cover their ass?
I actually think, sadly, I think it might be some of both. I've written op-eds in the past where I say, you know, I think a lot of Democratic legislators really think that people of Colorado are stupid. I mean, I think they really do have genuine contempt. Not all of them, but I think a number of them have genuine contempt for voters. But I think they also get a lot of cover from the mainstream media. But I'll tell you this, you know, we haven't seen the bill released. Now, the Daily Signal is a national outlet. It's actually the Heritage Foundation's equivalent of Complete Colorado,
right? Yeah,
which
I love
Independence
that site.
Institute runs. Yeah, and the Daily Signal did an op-ed. They quoted me, or sorry, not an op-ed, but a news article. They quoted me, and they received a draft of the bill. So there is a draft out there that Daily Signal had access to, but they have not introduced it. And through the grapevine, I'm hearing that maybe now that bill's not going to be introduced because behind the scenes, Democrats are starting to understand that it's a bad move politically to champion Tabor refunds, and then a few months later, after you win re-election, try to take them away. My feeling is that Governor Polis understands the bad optics of that, and he's trying to run as a more moderate fiscally, more of a libertarian. And if you've seen my latest op-ed, it sounds like it's the one I published last week after the one you were talking about a minute ago.
Yeah,
I wrote an op-ed saying, you know, Governor Polis has a mandate to defend our Tabor refunds. He more than any other Democrat ran on, I mean, it was his name on the letter. When voters voted for Governor Polis, they believed, because he campaigned on this, they believed they were pulling the lever for Governor Polis, the defender of Tabor. Okay? That means he has a mandate to defend Tabor. And I explained that in my op-ed, and I think you actually may see that happening behind the scenes. I mean, obviously you're not going to see a huge rift in the party out publicly. They want to save themselves from that embarrassment. Mm-hmm. But right now it's looking like maybe Polis is actually putting the brakes on this behind the scenes.
Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall in that meeting where Polis is like, all right, guys, we taxed them 10 cents for their plastic bags. We taxed them 27 cents for every delivery they get. And we waited until the pandemic when everybody was getting deliveries to do that. We are now going to pay for everybody's kids' school lunch. We have 85 new taxes and fees. We snuck in a $29 parks and recreation fee on every registration of a vehicle unless you opt out. We're going to raise gas taxes. Could you probably just hold off, just cool your jets for one quick second and give us a year of breather before you tax the hell out of these people one more? Like, I would love to be a fly on the wall in that meeting where it's even Polis championing some level of fiscal restraint.
Yeah, you know, you have to understand, I mean, this man is very politically savvy, but he also wants to run for president.
Yeah,
and
that's the...
He's looking at this going, well, wait a second, I'm going to have to appeal to a more centrist audience when I run for president. And it's not going to look good if I immediately take away people's Tabor refunds and raise their taxes and all that. Now, Leland, if you have a minute, I don't know how much time you have.
Oh, yeah, no, we got a few. Go ahead.
There's something that's developed that I actually haven't even written on yet. It's going to be coming out in an op-ed in the National Review this week at some point. I've written the op-ed. But let me tell you what's developed on income taxes and Tabor and all of that. Governor Polis, in his State of the State address last Tuesday, he said something he's never said before. Now, he supported our tax cuts, the ones Independence Institute put on the ballot in last year and in 2020. He supported those. He's even said publicly he wants zero income tax.
Right.
But he's never really given away how he's going to achieve it, how he's going to get there. He said, oh, well, maybe a carbon tax, right? But he's never really given a realistic plan. Independence Institute proposed something in the summer of 2021. And we call it Path to Zero. And we said specifically how we get to zero income tax over time through a ratchet down mechanism. Okay. And what we suggested is when we get these massive Tabor refunds, we're getting all these Tabor refunds, right? So rather than having a tax rate of, say, what it is now, 4.4%, and then on tax day you find out the government has a $2 billion surplus and they have to refund it to voters. What we said is, why don't you just lower the rate such that the government doesn't have to give us money back and then make that the new tax rate moving forward? Mm-hmm. That was our proposal. And if you keep doing that, if you keep ratcheting down the rate every time we have Tabor refunds, then what you can do is you can eventually eliminate the income tax entirely over time without ever affecting the state budget. In Polis's State of the Union address last week, for the first time ever, he alluded to, I like Independence Institute's idea, we should be doing this.
How?
He didn't use those exact words, but for the first time, he said, this is a good idea. We should use our Tabor refunds to lower people's income taxes permanently.
I'm gonna say something kind of sound weird because I relentlessly criticize this governor and I've given him the nickname Governor McFeamy, but I do think he's a smart man, and I do think his ear is a little closer sometimes to the voter than certainly the Democrats in the state legislature, and I do think he's triangulating for a presidential run. So it is interesting to hear that he's kind of maybe he's assessing these things, but how do you when you say ratchet it down to zero? How then do we make up that revenue, to play devil's advocate, without taxing and feeing everybody to death in other ways? And granted, I am for a consumption tax. I just spent the last hour talking about the Republicans' proposal for a national consumption tax. But it's one or the other, and it feels like, I mean, like, where is that money going to come from if you ratchet it all the way down to zero? Now, without cutting the size of government precipitously, how do we achieve the revenue the state actually does need to operate at least a basic level?
Well, I'm going to push back. It's not an either or.
Okay.
You can phase out the income tax over time without touching the state budget at all and without raising other taxes at all or fees. Now, it is an argument for incrementalism, right? And this is something the left is
explain that to somebody who says, how do you do that? Because what you're saying is there's two, let's say just using your example, $2 billion surplus. Yeah, we get that we can get rid of that because just lower my rates until that's gone. But once you get below that surplus, you're getting into what we're currently spending, even if you and I disagree with what we're spending it on.
Okay. So as long as the private economy is growing at a faster pace than the government, then you'll in the future get another refund at some point, right? You'll have surpluses again at some point. So right now you say, okay, we have $2.5 billion surpluses. Let's lower the income tax rate by enough to not have those surpluses anymore. Doesn't touch a state budget. The state budgeters.
But only from sales taxes and fees is where the budget is now coming from. When there's no income tax, that's where the money's coming from, correct?
Well, there are more tax sources from the state than just fees and sales taxes. But yes, you're right. A lot of the rest of it would be sales tax is the next largest revenue source.
Right. But which is what percent right now?
I'm not sure. I don't have those numbers off the top of my head. But the point is that as long as you can tax in all kinds of ways. There are a lot of different ways to tax, right? So the real question we should be asking is, what is the type of thing we should be taxing? Like, if you tax something, you punish that type of behavior. People earn income by being productive.
It's 2.9%,
taxing income is not a great idea, right?
You find the number? It's 2.9%. That's the state.
Oh, I'm sorry. The sales tax rate. I thought were asking.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. I was like, because that's where the revenue would come from is the sales tax if you get rid of the income tax.
You don't have to increase the sales tax rate.
Yeah,
right?
That's what. Okay, I see what you're saying.
That's my point.
What you're saying is leave the sales tax where it is. by lowering the income tax, you're speeding up and heating up the economy. That's making up the revenue with the sales tax. So the revenue's going up at the same time the tax rate's going down.
Okay, and I'm not making an argument that if we get rid of the income tax tomorrow, we'll be able, that's going to boost the economy so much that the sales tax will be able to make up for it. No. I'm talking about incrementalism. It's something the left is very good at, right? They're willing to take small victories over many decades. And what I'm suggesting, look, it may take 30 years to completely eliminate Colorado's income tax, but wouldn't it be a great thing if we could reduce it from 4.4 to 4.2% this year?
Right.
Yeah. And then again to 4% next year? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about. And if you do it in this way, and as long as the private economy grows faster than government grows, you can eventually not have an income tax without raising any other taxes.
Yeah, I fully agree. And as you know, I've been on supportive Path to Zero. Every state that I've lived in and done a radio show in, and I met with the governor of Kentucky several years ago, basically with a proposal very similar to this that I had worked with a couple of legislators on, because it's that important to me that we get to own our own money, right? For me, it's a principle issue that the government shouldn't be entitled to a share of the proceeds of my innovation and my labor before I get it, you know, and I do want to participate in the economy, and I'll do so by paying taxes when I buy stuff. So I'm 100% in support of it. It will be interesting. So you see Governor Polis as potentially being the dam that holds the flood back.
Well, here's what I see. Polis appears to be doing the right thing. He campaigned on Tabor refunds. And so he has a mandate to defend them. He appears to be doing that, pushing back against his party. But he also campaigned on phasing out Colorado's income tax, right? He campaigned on Path to Zero. Mm-hmm. He said we should eliminate this over time. It was a good start, what he did at the State of the Union, saying, hey, let's keep doing this. I'm glad that he didn't get off the campaign trail, win his reelection, and then never talk about it again. He talked about it in the State of the Union. The next step is to look at things seriously and go, okay, our refund is yay big. How much can we ratchet the income tax down this year in order to make more progress towards zero income tax?
Right.
I propose by a minimum of 0.18%, so down to 4.22. And you can read my NRO National Review article that's coming out this week, and you'll see why.
Right.
But I say 4.22 minimum is what Polis – so it's not enough for Polis to just stop bad things. He needs to go out and push his party to do what he campaigned on.
Yeah,
he campaigned on continuing towards zero income tax. He needs to go ask the legislature, okay, let's lower the income tax rate this year. Make it happen.
I love it. And the only thing that I know to do, Ben, is to keep having conversations like this and to do whatever I can to help you guys to get things like this on the ballot, to counteract the fact that a lot of the media doesn't really talk about this stuff. We have to have these conversations. We have to attract voters to these conversations so that people are more educated and that they demand that these politicians do, as you point out, what they said they would do. And so I appreciate what you guys do at the Independence Institute, because you're just relentless with this. And you're relentless with the logic behind the moves that you're making or you're asking the state to make. And that's what we need, is we need a relentless commitment to logic and explanation and making sure people understand why this is important economic stuff.
Yep, that's right.
All right, Ben, we'll continue our conversations. I look forward to reading your piece in the NRO because, and I want to see that. Hopefully we'll see that on the ballot next year, because I'll be first in line to vote for that reduction in income taxes. So,
well, right now I'm hoping the legislature will do it and we won't need it on the ballot.
Yeah, that but, would be even better, right? That would be
step
even
one.
Better. Yeah, and that's a feather in their cap if they can say, hey, we cut taxes. And we'd have to, guys like me would have to give them credit where it's due. Ben, thanks so much for what you guys do at the Independence Institute. Yep. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thanks, Leland. Bye-bye.
All right, Ben Murray, follow his stuff. Go to CompleteColorado.com. You can read his articles because he has it all laid out in a very logical way. Coming up next, President Biden says if you buy all these things, I'll save you money. He's going to give you a little government coupon. I added up all the green things he wants you to buy that you don't necessarily need right now. And I'll tell you just how much of an expenditure that'll be for you next. I'm Leland Conway, 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station.
And now, back to more Uncommon Sense with Leland Conway on 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station.
It's a Jesus piece I wear, but I don't know if it makes me whole.
This is why I love you guys. You can text the show directly, Leland at 57739. But somebody Instagrammed me just now. It's a video of a car with headlights that are actually flamethrowers. And the meme says, headlights made for those going slow in the left-hand lane. And he said, solved your Subaru problem. Oh, my God. My wife and I bought a new car last week. And we took it out for a fun drive on Sunday. It's an awesome vehicle. I love it. And it's very sporty. And it's the product of a lot of hard work. And we were enjoying the rewards of that hard work, whatever was left over after government took a bunch of other. And we were driving, and we get behind this Subaru, and I'm like, I've got this sporty vehicle that I just want to, like, rip it on the open road, and there's a damn Subaru in front of me, and they have to go 3 miles below the speed limit. You try to pass them, and they speed up because they're like some kind of moral saint. It's upset that you might exceed the posted speed limit.
I was going to say, sure there enough, are some that are fast.
I've seen maybe two. Look, I'm telling you right now, there's no police report that ever started with the sentence, and a Subaru went speeding by. Come on.
I mean,
it's never happened.
Yeah, man. Fast and the Furious Subarus, those little ones, the WRX, STIs, all that
stuff.
That's
a little different, though, isn't it?
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. There are some fast ones, so you just got stuck behind the wagon one.
I got stuck behind the one headed to freaking Boulder to do some dumpster diving with their little mask on, white knuckling the steering wheel with two wheels.
Definitely a wagon.
Yeah, exactly. It was not one of those sporty ones, I'll tell you that right now. All right, so I did some and wouldn't you love those flamethrower headlights? Wouldn't
of
you
course.
Love those? That would be so badass. Get out of the way. I mean, I don't necessarily want to do flamethrowers, but I mean, I'd like one of those little, like a forklift, right, where I could just push that out, lift them up, move them over, set them down, and let them go on about their merry way. That would be enough for me. So President Biden put out a tweet this weekend about how you could save $500 by re-insulating your house with a government coupon. I don't know. They're going to give you some kind of tax credit or whatever for $500 if you do all the insulation in your house over. And so this is part of the Inflation Reduction Act bullcrap that we were fed, where it's basically like, oh, we're going to solve inflation by having you go buy stuff you don't currently need, and we'll give you a tax credit for it. And somehow that's going to solve inflation. So I got to thinking, I was like, well, there's a number of different products they want me to go out and buy that I don't necessarily need right now. So if I did go out and buy them all, what would it cost me? So I went through the list of things that the government is currently, as part of the Inflation Reduction Act, offering you a discount on per a tax credit. So let's start with the inflation that the president tweeted about. I looked it up. The average cost to redo your inflation or insulation in your home with blow-in insulation is about $1.50 to $5 per square foot. Now, I have a 3,200 square foot house. And then some, because it's a couple of rooms in the basement are not finished. And if I finished those, it'd probably go out to about 3,800 square foot, something like that. But at the 3,200 finished square foot, if I re-insulated that, it would cost me between $4,800 and $16,000. But I decided I would go with just the conservative estimate of a 2,000 square foot three-bedroom house. Okay, we're just going to go with that estimate. And I decided that I would go with the low-end estimate on each of these expenditures. So assuming you could get the lowest contractor price to do these jobs, $1.50 a square foot for a 2,000-square-foot three-bedroom house to do your insulation is going to be $3,000. This is for your energy-efficient, green, global warming-reducing insulation, $3,000. Next, you have to buy solar panels. Because the government wants you to save money. Now, a solar panel expenditure on the same house, 2,000 square foot, is going to run you about $18,000 to $20,000. But again, we're going to go with the lower estimate. Now we're at $18,000 additional to that 3,000, so we're at $21,000 expenditures. Now the president wants to give you a tax credit for windows and doors. Now, again, I just took the lowest conservative estimate on a 2,000 square foot house, and we come in at $7,500. Now the president wants you to buy an electric vehicle, which is going to require the installation of an electric vehicle charger. Now, that electric vehicle charger on the low end is going to run you about $1,200 installed. And now for the average electric vehicle price, $66,000. But you can't just buy one. You have to have two because you and your significant other both need to drive to work. So that's another $66,000. Now, if you tally it across the board and average it up, the government's tax credits is going to give you a 30% break across the board on all those expenditures. Oh, I forgot. There was one more. The other one was all new appliances. All new appliances that are energy efficient. And I think the estimate that the low-end estimate I came up with on that one was $3,000. Anyway, tally it all together, and in order to save money and fight inflation, the president is asking you to buy products you do not currently need. You don't currently need new insulation. You don't currently need solar panels. You don't currently need new windows and doors. You don't currently need an electric vehicle. You don't currently need new appliances. He just wants you to go out and replace them to save on inflation by getting a 30% coupon from the government. That is $166,000 in purchases minus the 30%. Brings us to $116,000. So in order to save the money the president is telling you to save by buying things you don't currently need, right? Like if you're going to go out and buy a new refrigerator, it makes sense to buy an energy efficient refrigerator, does it not? If you're going to go out and buy new windows and doors, it makes sense to buy efficient windows and doors. If you need new insulation in your house, it makes sense to have energy-efficient insulation. But if you don't need it, why make the purchase? $116,000 in expenditures the average family doesn't need. So here's my question. Who the hell has a hardworking average American people, hardworking average American people who, by the way, make around $75,000 a year in a two-income household? Who the hell has $116,000 after tax credit when eggs are $8 a dozen and gas is $4 a gallon? Who has that? You see what a crock this is? You see what a bunch of lying, slithering snakes these people are? What this was a gift to green lobbyists to get people go out and buy things they don't necessarily need, to artificially inflate demand, which, by the way, could potentially drive up inflation even more, but you get a 30% tax credit across the board on all these different things. And you're supposed to feel like you're virtue signaling. You did good. You got it right. This is so asinine. Why would I go buy a new refrigerator if my current refrigerator works? Why would I? Because the government's going to give me a little discount on it. The government's going to give me a $500 coupon to buy a $6,000 refrigerator when my current refrigerator works just fine? Why would I go out and buy a $66,000 electric vehicle when my current vehicle works just fine? In fact, it's brand new. Why would I do that? Why would I replace it with a $66,000 electric vehicle that doesn't even really work at altitude and in the cold very well? Why would I do that? That doesn't make any sense to me. So all of this is a farce. I had some audio I wanted to play about this. Let me see if I've got it here. I do not yet. I do have this, though. Biden says his plans work.
Now, 2 years in, it's clearer than ever that our plans work, and we're building the economy from the bottom up and the middle out, not just the top down.
I don't know about you, but in my neighborhood, and y'all tell me if I'm wrong, but in my neighborhood, gas went up a dollar in the last 2 weeks. It was $2.99 2 weeks ago, and now today it went up 15 cents overnight. It was $3.74 yesterday. It's $3.99 at the gas station right around the corner, which is for me in my neighborhood the cheapest gas station I have in the area. There's others that are a little cheaper in other areas of town, but where I have my neighborhood, it's the cheapest. It's $3.99. So I can't wait till summer when we get the global warming blend that we have to use because of all the additional driving. That's going to be fun when gas goes back up to $5 a gallon. And we don't have any more strategic petroleum reserves to release to keep it artificially low. And they don't care anyway because there isn't a midterm election coming up. Oh, my God. Sometimes I just wonder, why are voters in America so stupid? Not you. Again, you, if you're listening to this show, you're highly informed. You're highly logical. You get it. But by and large, we're surrounded by a bunch of idiots living in a clown world. When we continue, deep thoughts on equality from Kamala Harris. 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station. All right, 630 KHOW, Denver's Talk Station. I'm Leland Conway. We have a deep thoughts by Kamala Harris on equity versus equality.
And now, deep thoughts by Vice President Kamala Harris.
Ah.
Equality suggests often everybody should get the same thing. Well, that often assumes everybody started out in the same place, as opposed to equity, which is everyone should end up in the same place.
Oh, God.
And if you then understand not everybody started out in the same place, you understand some people need more. So we all end up in the same place.
You know what's really funny about this? And this sets up tomorrow's show, because I'm going to talk a little more in depth about this, because this is a concept that I think everybody needs to become familiar with, because it tells you everything you know about the tyrants that are in office right now. And that's what they are. They're tyrants. But what's funny about what she said is she didn't even say it right. She basically said that it's the same thing. She was like, equality says that everybody gets the same thing, and equity means that everybody gets the same thing. That's essentially what she said. So she doesn't even understand her own Marxism. But that's beside the point. Anyway, I'm going to give you a little preview of what we're going to talk about tomorrow, because we are going to get into this a little bit more tomorrow. But let me explain. Equality is that each individual person has the same value. In other words, before the law, we're all treated the same. It's the same justice system for everybody. It's the same right and wrong for everybody. It's the same opportunity for everybody. If there's 10 people and there's an opportunity, all 10 people have the same opportunity to chase that one opportunity. But only one of them will get it, right? And they'll get it based on their merits. That's equality. Equality of value, right? It has nothing. Equality has nothing to do with outcomes. It has everything to do with you having an opportunity to chase happiness as you see fit. Equity has two meanings. One, in the business world, obviously, it's a value in your home that surpasses the amount you owe it, in a value in an asset that surpasses the amount you owe it, or whatever the value is, so on and so forth. But equity in terms of social justice discussion is equality of outcomes. That's what they're talking about. And the only way to achieve this, and we'll get into this more in depth tomorrow, but the only way to achieve this is through tyranny. Because you have to have inequality in order to have equity. And I'll explain this more in depth tomorrow. It's an important point that we have to make. We'll probably do it in the opening monologue. But you have to have inequality in skill sets, different levels of ability. And for those that excel, you have to bring them down and take away from them what they've earned in order to give to people who don't have those same skill sets the same thing and the same outcome. So that is what equity is. Equity is essentially the definition of tyranny. It's a different system of justice, a different system of right and wrong, and a different system of what is fair for everyone, so that everyone gets the same amount, no matter how much effort, no matter how much innovation, no matter how much smarts, no matter how much work ethic they have. We'll get into that more in depth tomorrow. But right now, it's time for our Bad News Mad Lib, so that we can give you a headline that makes no sense. Do we have our sound? There it is.
News, Mad News Lib.
Want to hear a good one?
On 630 KHOW.
Right, here we go. All right, is Kel in the studio, B-Large?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, all right, so we have everybody. All right, who wants to go first with this headline? I'm not going to tell you the headline until somebody says they want to go first.
Hey, well, go ahead.
Who wants to go first? All right, you're going to do it first, B-Large. Okay, mm-hmm. Here's the headline. Man disguises himself in bull costume as he tries to burn down former lover's house with pasta sauce.
He tried to burn down the house with pasta sauce? Is it flammable?
I love how you went right past the fact that he's disguised as a bull.
Yeah, I know. It's the red right sauce, the man. That's what made him rage. Was it red sauce? Like, maybe she didn't
know
how to make
I don't
good
know.
Sauce. Maybe that was what it was. That's why he took the sauce, because he was angry. She didn't know how to make spaghetti properly.
Okay. She was a bad cook. He decided to burn the house down because she was a bad
cook. He was just trying
cook,
to have a good time, being in his bull costume, having a great Sunday.
I love it, because we all sit around and eat spaghetti in a bull costume. I love it. That's got to be the truth. Kel, what's the story?
Got to be Halloween. This guy's an idiot. He dressed up like a bull. The only thing that was on sale that he could afford was pasta sauce. And, of course, he decided to try to inflame a building with pasta sauce.
That doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
But neither does the headline. All right, here's the story. Are you ready? KTLA 5. Two men accused of breaking
LA.
Into... What? Yeah.
That's
two
LA.
Men... Yeah, no. It. Well, yeah, but the story's in Florida. KTLA is in LA, but the story is in Florida. Two Florida men are accused of breaking into their ex-boyfriend's home and using ragu sauce to try and burn it down. Derek and John were arrested on March 13th after allegedly breaking into the home and stealing several items, including a flat-screen television, window AC unit, and vacuum, according to Orlando television station WKMC. The victim called 911 after being alerted by security cameras. Arriving deputies saw a red SUV leaving the area. The two men inside the vehicle, later identified as Irving and Silva, said they were just picking up clothes from the home. The men initially denied the burglary, but when authorities went in the home, they found a burning pot of ragu sauce and a washcloth near the stove burner. One of the men was dressed in a bull suit.
Bulls are attracted to red. That's
bulls
what they
parade.
Use.
Bullseye. Dan Kaplan's is next. 630 KL.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.